It is so good to be with you again this Sunday morning, as it is each Sunday morning at the same time, and we count it a privilege to come into your homes. We hope that you have your Bibles with you, and if you'll get them out, turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 6, and we'll continue our survey through this tremendous book. In John chapter 6, we begin to find here where we have another miracle, and that is the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. We find out here the first three signs illustrate how salvation comes. That is, through the Word, by faith, and by grace. But the fourth sign now, the feeding of the 5,000, illustrates the cooperation between men and God in bringing salvation to the lost. You see, Christ took the bread, he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples, who in turn fed the crowds. And while salvation is of the Lord and all of grace, he still uses human instruments to take the gospel message to every man, woman, boy, and girl. How shall they hear without a preacher? Says Romans chapter 10, verse 14. In a very real sense, Christ has no hands but our hands to feed the bread of life to hungry souls. And if we, like the little lad that we're going to see here in a few minutes, will give him our all, he will take it, he'll break it, he'll bless it, and he'll use it to bless others. So let's turn here now to John chapter 6, and we'll begin here with verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. That was named after the emperor. And a great multitude followed him because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Now, in one real sense, we find out there were two groups of people that followed Christ. There were the group that followed him because they seen the miracles and their heart was right. He said in John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, he said, many other signs truly did Jesus do in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. But yet, we'll take just a second and jump ahead of ourselves here just a little bit. We find out here in verse 15, let's look up there just a second, because here's another group of people who came just in order to what they could get themselves, to help themselves, not concerned about him being the Messiah, but only what they could get for their own gratification, for their own personal needs. Notice what he says here in verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and to take him by force, to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. He did that, and notice in verse 26 now, Jesus answered them, and he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. And of course, the breaking of the loaves and that small amount was truly a miracle, but their motive was only to fill themselves, not anything concerned with spiritual things. And you know, it's just like so many today. They use the church in order to maybe enhance their reputation and their social standings, that they're a good person because they go to church every Sunday, and yet they could be as lost as anyone. Just going to church never gives you eternal life. Just being a good person never gives you salvation. It is by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I've even known churches where the board would say, well, we need so-and-so on our deacon board because he's got the money and he has a tremendous influence. Well, that would be suicide, as many pastors have found out in times past, when that kind of motive is used to try to build a church because of a person's prestige or their money or one thing or another. You're going to promote them and put them on a board. That's absolute suicide and not the way God wants it done. But here is two groups of people here, one that was interested in Christ because they saw the miracle that he done. They knew and it proved that he was their Messiah and they trusted him as their Savior. That should be the reason why we trust the Lord Jesus. Not only can he do the miracles physically, but he can do the one great miracle, and that is give us a new life, make us born again, put the Holy Spirit of God in us, and then work with us, help us to grow, and transform our lives into something that will be productive. Take the broken pieces, put them back together, and make something beautiful out of your life. That is a miracle. All right, let's go on down now, if you will. Then we come to the point here to where the crowds followed him, and then he did something sort of interesting, and Christ, being God, knew everything, and yet he did something that he does to each one of us periodically, and we find this here in verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come to him, and he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, notice in verse 6, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Do you know there are many circumstances in your life that Christ may bring about in order to prove to you what he can do for you? Sometimes we have a tendency, you know, to criticize, and we have a tendency to gripe and to complain. And actually, maybe God is bringing the circumstances into your lives to prove to you what great things he can do. Sometimes if maybe you're not serving the Lord or doing what God wants you to do, then he'll bring circumstances to pass that will bring you to a dead end in order to show you, look, you cannot do it yourself. Then there's no place else to turn. You may turn to relatives, you may turn to other Christians, you may go to your pastor, you may go to some of the deacons, and yet it just seems fruitless and useless, like there's just no out whatsoever. Well, what Christ is trying to show you is he wants to prove to you that he can supply all of your needs through him, and that he can work every situation out that you can't. And so many times when Christians get in the habit of working all their own problems out, they get so self-confident that really they don't need the Lord. The Lord is only a byword and a password, but it's not really exercising their faith in full dependability upon what the Lord Jesus Christ can do. So he said this here unto Philip, and said this to prove him, because he knew himself what he was going to do. You see, the Lord knows the things in the future. He knows everything that's going to happen. He knows everything about everything, but you don't, and neither do I. Therefore, the Lord has to bring things to pass in our lives in order to show us and prove to us that Christ can be depended upon, that he can be relied upon, that he does love us, that he is interested in us, and he's not sitting up in heaven disinterested because I'm just one of a million millions of people down here. And sometimes we get that idea, and that's what Satan wants us to do, but that's not true. God is interested in us. Now, let's go on down, if you will. In fact, when he said this to Philip, I want to prove to you, or prove you, then let's take a verse and tie this in with it, which I think is very important, and I think Christians need to realize this. Instead of when we go through our trials and testings, instead of grumbling and complaining, look to the Lord and look to see what the purpose of it is. And the Lord, there is a purpose behind it. Now let's notice here, if you will, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Let's take a second and turn in our Bibles back there, and how important this is. Well, the Lord tells us here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord tells us here that the trial of our faith is more precious than the most precious metal here upon the earth. Because when the Lord creates new heavens and new earth, and we go to glory to be with him and meet him in the clouds at the rapture, well, all the gold down here isn't going to amount to a pot of beans. But the things that you've done for Christ, and the rewards you're going to receive at the judgment seat of Christ, and the influence that you've had upon others because of the trial of your faith, has proven to them that you really are authentic. That you not only talk about the Lord, but you walk with the Lord, and they see that when you go through trials. And this is one of the reasons that he said to Philip, I'm doing this to prove to you. Now, let's go on back, and here's something. Let's go back to the book of Exodus chapter 16, if you will, in verse 4. Now, God did this, and the same thing clear back here to the children in the wilderness when they were wandering, to prove to them that he could supply their needs. Now, if you recall back there, they did not have anything to eat. They ran out of provisions. They didn't have any water or anything. And in the 16th chapter, we find out here in verse 4, notice what the Lord said. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall gather out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no, or rather or not. Now, the reason God did this was he wanted them to trust him daily. Now, he could have provided enough and preserved it and used all the preservatives that was necessary and so forth. He could have done that, and it would have been preserved for months. But God said, I'm doing this to prove the nation of Israel. I do not only on the sixth day do I want them to gather enough so that they do not have to work on the Sabbath day or upon the seventh day, but other than that, I want them to gather. They'll have enough to fill their stomachs. They'll have enough nourishment in it to take care of them, but I do not want them to gather any more for the next day only on the sixth day to carry him over on the Sabbath. But every other day, Monday through Saturday, right on, every other day, then we find out the Lord said, I want them to gather just enough to eat, and I will provide then the very next day. Now, he did this to prove them that he could be trusted. And you know, as we said so many times, God brings circumstances into your lives to prove to you that he can be relied upon, that he can be trusted. And God loves nothing more than to see you exercise faith in your life, depending upon Christ to supply all of your needs through Christ when you've done the very best you can. Now, let me say this. How about your tithings? Have you been given your tithings and offerings unto the Lord? Or do you think yourself you do not have enough faith that God can supply your needs? Do you think, well, things are so hard that, you know, yes, Lord, I'm thankful for a good job, but you know we've got to have this new and we got to have that new and we got to have our swimming pool out here and we got to have this and we got to have that. Consequently, God is robbed, and he is. In fact, in Malachi, the priests were so blinded they had robbed God of many, many things, polluted the altar, and they had said, God said, you know, you have done this to me. They said, wherewith have we done this? How have we robbed you? They'd done us alone. They didn't even realize they were blinded to their own sins. And yet, it showed a lack of faith. And there are many people and Christians today who say, oh, I love the Lord, but when it comes to supporting the Lord's work, and it comes to giving their tithes and offerings, then they'd rather go out and make sure that their own houses are satisfied instead of the house of the Lord, because they do not have the faith to trust God that he will abundantly supply. He will abundantly provide if he can trust us with the jobs he's given us, the money he's entrusted us with, and then by faith we give a portion of that back to the Lord in appreciation for what he's done for us. And not only that, we want to have an investment in every lost soul that's saved. We want to have some eternal investments in that. And the reason Christians do not do that sometimes is because they do not have the faith to trust Christ that he can supply their needs if they're faithful unto the Lord. And God is proving Philip as he proved those in the wilderness. Now, let's go on down, if you will. He says here, and Philip answered him, he said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for that every one of them may take a little. And then one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, a couple of sardines, and but what are they among so many? He had lack of faith also. But what we fail to realize is God can take the little things, and when he breaks it and gets our lives submitted and committed unto him, he can bless multitudes. My gracious, even your Schofield Bible. Some of you folks that are listening have a Schofield Bible. Well, Dr. C.I. Schofield, his life was in a million pieces. He was a drunken attorney in St. Louis, Missouri. And then he trusted Jesus Christ, and he's the one that wrote all those notes in your Schofield Bible, your old and new Schofield Bible. He's the one who edited that. He's the one who put those notes in there, became a tremendous Bible scholar. God collected up the pieces, swept them up, glued them back together, and you'd never know that they were broken. That's what God can do. And he can take, and those notes have been a blessing and a help to many, many Bible students, many, many laymen, many, many Christians as they read and study the Schofield Bible and benefit greatly from the notes that Dr. C.I. Schofield has put in there. But nevertheless, we say this, God can use you, and God will bless other people through you if you're dedicated 100%. He can take your life if you'll break it up from the routine that you've been going in. Well, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I got to be home. I got to do this and one thing or another. And consequently, Christ cannot use you. And you stand amazed at yourself and you can't understand, get mad at everybody else. Look at all the talents I've got. And people just don't realize how important I am to the church. And we have people who have that kind of an attitude. But fail to realize all of your talents don't amount to anything because you're not dedicated. You're undependable. But if you will dedicate yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, dedicate your life to him and be faithful, God will take and break things in your life. If you'll break up the fallow ground, God will take it and he'll use your life to be a blessing to multitudes. You'll be a blessing to your friends because he'll see your faithfulness. You'll have a testimony that will be reliable, and because you not only say you have faith, you're proving your faith by your works. Therefore, it will not fall on dead ears, but it will be believed by the lost that you testify to. I don't think there's anything that turns the lost people off is to hear a Christian say, I believe in Jesus Christ, but then their life is so foul, so rotten, that it actually brings dishonor to the Lord. But anyway, we find in verse 9, there is a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Well, humanistically speaking, they're not much. But when we include the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing impossible with the Lord. Therefore, he can take the little things that you have, and he will bless them abundantly and make them a blessing to others if you'll just dedicate what you may consider to be things that are small. Now in verse 10, and Jesus said, he said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in a number of about 5,000. And in Matthew chapter 14, verse 21, it adds, besides the women and children. So there were many more than just 5,000. And then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, and we find out in Mark 6:41 that when he had given thanks, he broke the loaves of bread. He broke them. And then he gave thanks and broke the loaves of bread, distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments and remain, that nothing be lost. What a miracle this is, and what a lesson it has for us. Do you know that Jesus Christ is the bread of life, and his body was broken on the cross so that he could be a blessing to multitudes? Whosoever will may come, because the bread of life, the Lord Jesus here, and we're going to see he preached a sermon upon this miracle here in our next broadcast. We'll be examining that. But his life was broken that he could be a blessing, and he said God so loved the world that his life, broken on the cross, died for the sins of everyone. And he said, whosoever will may come, and whosoever will come unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. So if you're listening this morning, and maybe you've got all kind of troubles, and maybe you're starved spiritually, maybe you're hungry and things aren't going right and you've got indigestion and you've got all kind of problems. Well, you're going to have them without Christ. And not saying that we do not have problems to face when we're a Christian, because we do, but the difference is you're facing them by yourself and they get worse and worse, and we've got Jesus Christ to work out things for us that we cannot work out for ourselves, and we have the victory because God loved us enough to die for us. He loves enough to take care of us when we're going through our trials and troubles. And if we'll just exercise our faith, the Lord will see us through. And it tells us in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which supplieth my needs. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And then we find out also in Philippians and Ephesians that the Word of God tells us this in chapter 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all of your needs, and according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And then we come on over and find out in Philippians also. In chapter 3, verse 20, the Lord tells us here in Ephesians, he says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And of course, that power is by the Holy Spirit of God. And Christ can do things for you that you never dreamed possible if you'll just put your faith in him and trust that he'll do that for you. You see, if the Lord loved you enough to die for you and to give his life before you were ever born, how shall he not with his Son freely give us all things? And if you're a Christian listening this morning, do you know that Jesus Christ died for you? He's a blessing to the whole world. God loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should never perish, but have everlasting life. And let me say this, God will take your life, and do you know that there are things that have to be broken before there can be a blessing? Do you know in the tabernacle, the wood had to be broken before the tabernacle could be built? In the temple, the stone had to be broken and cut and shaped before the beautiful tabernacle could go up, a Solomon's temple. We find out that on the ark, before the ark could save those 8 that were on it, the wood had to be broken in order to piece together in the ark. And let me say this, you may have to be broken before you will be of any use to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you've not submitted yourself, and Christ, there are things in your life that Christ is going to have to break up. Maybe you're associating with the wrong friends. You need to break that kind of friendship and get you some good Christian friends. Maybe the Bible's been laid shut and you need to break it open. And maybe there's some things that need to be broken in your life before God can bless you. But I'll tell you this, if you'll break up the fallow ground in your routine that you've designed simply for yourself and include the Lord Jesus, by breaking things up, the Lord Jesus will use you to be a blessing to many other people. His life was broken on the cross that he could bless the world, and whosoever will may come. And God wants you, since he bought you with a price, to break up some things in your life and get yourself dedicated so you can be a blessing to the Lord, be a blessing to others, and receive the blessings of God. Well, it's been so good to be with you again this Sunday morning. We really count it a pleasure to come into your homes and to spend this time with you. We will really appreciate it if you take just a minute and sit down and drop us a line and let us know that you're listening. We'd appreciate that so much. Been so good to be with you. Until next week, may the truth of God's Word keep marching on.
Our message always is, God loves you, Jesus Christ died for you, and there's nothing it'll take you to heaven except your faith in God's gift. His Son, who died on the cross, was buried and rose again just for you. And if you'll trust him, put your faith in him, he said, whosoever believeth in him would never perish but have everlasting life. Thank you for listening. We hope you'll take time to write. Remember our website again. It is www.heritagebbc.com. We'd love to have you write us and tune in there. Take time to write. Our mailing address is Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.